Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thank you so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd, who is back on Monday. Dustin May is going to join us, who is just filthy. Filthy for the Dodgers. Gotta wonder what this season has been like for Dustin May. But man, I mean, you look at the numbers and that's a dude who is just absolutely owning the world, as the Dodgers have been really impressive so far this year. Not in first place, but it's like one of those things, you're going to let so many teams in the playoffs, you got to feel really good about where the Dodgers are. All right, so we'll talk some Dodger baseball. I got I got some Raiders stuff for you upcoming. That should be good. That should be really, really good. Really good. I got some Raiders stuff for you upcoming. And then our best for last, I think you'll enjoy. Yes, we're going list. And yes, it involves movies. And there's a logic behind it. So, all right, so you're just going to have to deal with that. Just going to have to deal with that. All right. So Dustin May in 30 minutes. We'll keep it with L.A. with this topic. The Lakers lost to the Rockets. LeBron James didn't play. So let's be fair that LeBron doesn't play. And in addition to the fact that this isn't the most talented team in the NBA, you take an otherworldly talent like LeBron, who also is your main shot creator, leads you in scoring and assists. Or maybe second in scoring, I mean, whatever, in scoring and assists and rebounds, walking triple-double. You take him off. The team is built one way. You play without him, you have to play a completely different way. Now, the Rockets didn't have Russell Westbrook, but they did shoot the ball incredibly well, and the Lakers shot the ball terribly. 2 of 19 from three. This coming off of the Lakers shooting, what was 5 of 37 from 3 the night before? I mean, it's just... And if you look, LeBron, since the restart, 27% from 3. AD, 24.6. KCP, 18.3. Danny Green, supposed to be a 3-point shooter, 12.3. Deion Waiters, 10%, and JR has not hit a 3. And he was, you would assume, brought in to improve that 3-point shooting. They're shooting 23% as a team from three, and they've gotten progressively worse during their time in the bubble. Can some of that be helped? Can they shoot through some of it? Yeah. Is some of it you have an older team, and when you're playing this many games in this short a period of time, you're just not going to have the legs? Sure. But man, are they struggling. And what's going to happen is, if they don't win an NBA championship, who's going to get the blame? I know that Skip will point out LeBron's inadequacies and is like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's any fear of failure or there's a choke in him. And I'm reasonable to understand that in the NBA, you have to have space, especially the way LeBron plays, where he's trying to play downhill and almost bully ball. And especially now, he's not as athletic as he used to be. He's still, by anybody's estimation, an incredible athlete, but he really does have to get, you know, into your body, use his strength in order to try and get by you or post you up or find an angle. There's a certain cleverness when you're 35 that you don't have to have when you're 28 and you're just the biggest, fastest, strongest, baddest you-know-what on the planet. But if you want to see the easiest correlation in stats to victories with the LA Lakers, it's not doesn't revolve around shooting. And look, I'm somebody who said, if I'm LeBron, I'm pissed at Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley didn't play well early on in the season. He was just starting to play great. He's a tremendous perimeter defender who they're going to need if they take on any of these teams in the postseason. They're going to light him up. But Damian Lillard going against – if you've watched the past couple days, you better realize you can't play Quinn Cook against a legit all-NBA caliber point guard. And what Chris Paul did to him is that's abuse in some states. And as much as we all love Caruso, look, there's a ceiling there. There's a ceiling there. Doesn't really score. He is a really good athlete. He defers a ton to LeBron. Like, he's a tremendous defender, but outside of transition, he doesn't give you a ton offensively. Those guys are backups for a reason. They don't have a starting point guard. Like, all of this is absolutely reasonable to go like, man, if they had had Darren Collison and Avery Bradley hadn't opted out, it's a totally different team. But they don't. But if you just do yourself a favor when you're at home, if you're bored, click on LeBron James and click on splits for this year. Splits. Okay? LeBron James in wins, 26.8 points per game. Can I round up to 27? Is that okay? In losses, 20.7. I'll round up to 21 if you want. Still, that's a six-point difference. But here's where it gets even worse. In the wins, he shoots 51% from the field. In the losses, 42. In the wins, 38% from three. In the losses, 21. In the wins, 71% from the free throw line. In the losses, 63. Well, he turns it over a little bit more. The assists are essentially the same. The rebounds are actually higher when they lose. The only thing that's different is the scoring. So while LeBron James and anybody who supports LeBron James, as a fanboy of LeBron James, can tell you, and it's a reasonable discussion to have, that you go like, hey, can he do it without shooters? I don't know. They don't have enough shooting right now. Maybe that eventually water finds its level. They can work with, like, just every day, get in there, get reps, get volume, rest guys. They have better legs. You know, and just and make shots that they missed. Maybe have some mental coaching as well while they're there. I mean, they have Mike Pemberthy is one of the assistants. He's a shooting coach. He was a great shooter. There was an NAIA guy that made the Lakers. He beat me out. He's one of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life. So it's not for lack of teaching or coaching. They're just not making shots. But none of that really correlates to wins or losses. LeBron's stats do. Here's Frank Vogel on the shooting.
We just haven't had practice time. So, you know, we got to continue to work through it. And again, we got a lot of guys going in and out. We're watching tape on it each day, trying to learn from the types of shots we're trying to create. I thought we took less bad shots from the perimeter tonight. And, you know, that usually helps your percentages. It didn't tonight, but it did create more attacks to the basket, more free throw attempts, more points in the paint. So there's some positives there.
Okay, sure. Like the practice time thing is, you know, look, guys can get into a gym and get shots up. That's not at issue. And it'd be one thing if they were in an adverse situation as opposed the Rockets in the exact same game, 21 of 57, which isn't a great percentage. It's 37%. It's not crazy high, but damn, they took how many threes? 57 threes? And I'll grant you, the construction of that team with no big guys is different. But if you want to go practice time, why would the Rockets not have the exact same amount of practice time? The Trailblazers last night, 23 of 39. The Nuggets, 14 of 28, 50% from three. The Clippers beat the Mavericks last night. The Clippers, 14 of 31. The Mavericks, 17 of 48. All of these teams are in the exact same bubble environment with the exact same amount of practice time or ability to get to a gym. So I don't buy that one. Better shots, sure. Having more point guards who create those shots, absolutely. Um, But if you want to tell me it's because they haven't had practice time, it's not, that doesn't hold up to me. And maybe here's the biggest thing. They've shot poorly, still found a way to win throughout the season. Let's give some accountability to LeBron. And last night's night, he didn't play. And he's carrying a lot. But if they win or lose, the season statistics tell you LeBron is the reason or the cause. All right, coming up next, it's a make-or-break season for one NFL quarterback. Maybe for more than one. But this one that I want to talk about, and I kind of feel like we know exactly who he is, and there's no chance he proves us wrong. That's upcoming next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Man, getting older, feeling older? I'm not. If you're not ready to give up, you want to feel more energized and lean, take M-Drive. Check it out at mdriveformen.com, mdriveformen.com. Do, 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 do. Dustin May is going to join us. One of the things, the last time he had his hair short, he's got great pitcher hair, doesn't he? Great pitcher hair. Dustin May, who's got an unbelievable cutter, pitches for the Dodgers. If you haven't seen him, do yourself a favor. Check it out. That red mop top is remarkable. I mean, it is. Whoo, it is remarkable. So too is that cutter. He'll join us upcoming in 10 minutes or so. So, Lincoln Kennedy was a great player, not just at UCLA, but with the Oakland Raiders. Huh? But he didn't play it. Jonathan Ogden played at UCLA. Lincoln Kennedy's at Washington. My bad. Lincoln Kennedy played at UW and then, of course, with the Raiders. He's been a Raiders broadcaster as well. He said this to Zach Gelb. I would say to him if I was there, and he being Derek Carr, I would say if he was here in my face and he said that, I would tell him that right now. If you're tired of being disrespected, play better. It's that simple. The thing is, there's no more excuses for Derek. It's now either put up or shut up. He's got all the weapons in front of him. He's got an offensive line. He's got a run game. He's got a receiving core. Now it's time to put up or shut up. Now, look, if I was, and first of all, Lincoln's a friend. He's a really good dude. And I do think that is the approach that most Raider fans think and the Raiders themselves think. But it's also completely fair to say, hey, last year they weren't built to have Tyrell Williams as their number one receiver. Right, the plan was to have Antonio Brown as their number one receiver, to have Tyrell Williams as their number two, and then you had the, Zay Jones, Bryan Edwards, Hunter Renfrow, Nelson Aguilar's. Now you got a Henry Ruggs. So I would disagree with Lincoln in terms of what he's had in terms of the talent around him previously, and even thinking that Ruggs is immediately. His speed could change what they do, but let's not act like Henry Ruggs is expected to be an all-pro level wide receiver. I mean, Tyrell Williams is a good player. He was not the best wide receiver with the Chargers. Frankly, he was the third best wide receiver with the Chargers. That's why he ended up in Oakland or now in Vegas with the Raiders. Right? They had Keenan Allen and they had Mike Williams. So I would disagree in terms of having this great wide receiving core. They're getting better. And I do think the Raiders signing Marcus Mariota, paying him $7.5 million to be a backup, they're saying, John Gruden and Mike Mayock are saying, Derek, it is put up or shut up time. Josh Jacobs is a stud at running back. They've rebuilt their offensive line. They've done some really good things. But at what point do we start to go, this is kind of who Derek Carr is, right? I mean, they've changed coaching staff several times over. 21, 32, 28, 22, 19, 21 touchdown passes. 12, 13, 6, 13, 10, 8 interceptions. Right? He's a 2.5 to 1 touchdown interception guy. In a league where most everybody throws for 4,000 yards, he's thrown for 4,000 yards both the past 2 years, and those are with two bad teams. So it's helped out. They're behind late. He accumulates some yards. Really not a he's not a guy that's throwing for 5,000 yards. He's not even close. You're trying to get him to being something that he's not. Man, if you're tired of being disrespected, no. Derek Carr is exactly who you think he is. He's capable of exactly what you think he's capable of. And the only outliers are, you know, the year they made the playoffs, they went for it on fourth down more than anybody in the league and got it. Right? So I agree with Lincoln while disagreeing with Lincoln. Lincoln Kennedy was a great player for the Raiders, good broadcaster. He's like, look, it's put up or shut up time. I agree. The Raiders agree. But he's not capable of being anybody other than himself. And like, if 25 touchdowns and 10 interceptions isn't enough, and it probably isn't, then he's not the guy. And you're putting off the inevitable. And this is what we do so oftentimes in relationships. Right? Where you're like, you put off the inevitable. Let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Doug, Lincoln Kennedy, also one of our cohorts here at Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him every Saturday morning alongside Anthony Gargano. Me and Lincoln go back a bit. I was actually his producer before I was yours.
All right, so don't tell him I said UCLA. I'm, for some reason, Jonathan Ogden and his career kind
good.
Of intersected.
It's
I know
good.
Jonathan Ogden played for the Ravens, and he was at the Raiders.
Lincoln, one of the all-time great guys.
Well, great dude, right?
Oh, I mean, incredibly nice and humble for how just absolutely massive he is and could just crush you if he wanted to, and also how great of a player he was, both in college and the NFL. All right, we'll pick up and stick with some NFL here, Doug. Rookie quarterback, Heisman sensation, NCAA college football champion, Joe Burrow. Got drafted number one overall by the Cincinnati Bengals and apparently already making an impact, according to his teammates, veteran tight end CJ Uzuma. I know he knows his stuff. He's making the appropriate reads and checks. He's going to be one of the boys for sure. He has a certain confidence in himself, and you can tell he has the confidence in us to do what we need to do. I like him so far and what he brings to the table, that poise he has, that moxie. It's nice.
I like Joe Burrow. You know, I was talking with Jordan Palmer, who we know we've had him on. Of course, he played
quarterback
in the NFL,
guru.
Quarterback guru, former Bengal.
That's right.
And he was saying, like, look, like people keep saying he doesn't have this big arm, and he doesn't, but they think they've uncovered the fundamental flaw. It was interesting. He was like, look, guys, you want to be on your toes because you always, your whole life, you're thought that on your toes, the football position, you're more athletic that way. But when you throw a football, you actually want to be like have all your cleats in the ground. And that's how he was losing power. Be interesting to see if it's that much of a fix. It's like Lamar Jackson, who was wildly inaccurate when he was at Louisville. There's some footwork things that he's changed that's allowed him to be far more accurate. And I wonder if Joe Burrow is much the same. And the Bengals are a team. Look, their defense was trash. two years ago, it was the worst defense, until like the last 2 weeks of the season, worst defense statistically in the history of the league.
Yeah, they had like a six-week run where one had given up more points.
I called a game.
Yards.
I got a chance to do play-by-play for radio for a game. Saints-Bengals, my first game. First game doing play-by-play. The Saints never punted. Didn't punt the whole game. The thing was over in like 2 hours and 30-something minutes. It was so fast because it was just, they never punted. Like, you got A.J. Green, you got Mixon, you got a couple, their offensive line is rebuilt. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think they could be decent this year. And I'm not saying playoff, decent.
I mean, we talk about the Browns, you couldn't get much worse. I mean, the Bengals didn't trade up for the number one pick, mind you. they were that bad. So I'm not sure how much worse they could
last
get.
Last year's first-round pick in line didn't play.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I think they got a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully a healthy A.J. Green should make for a good target for him. And
well, it's not just A.J. Green, but like look what it does to Tyler Boyd. Now, Tyler Boyd, you know,
becomes
the number two wide receiver. And then, remember, they drafted T. Higgins as well.
Right.
Who again, not probably number one, but maybe not a number two, not a slot, but a third. I don't hate what the Bengals are building. I don't know if they can stop anybody.
Yeah, we shall see what happens with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. In the NBA, Doug, some breaking news as of last hour. The Pelicans announced that Zion Williamson will sit out tonight against the Washington Wizards, the second half of a back-to-back, them getting the loss to the Kings yesterday. So Zion Williamson on a minutes restriction and not playing back-to-backs inside the NBA bubble.
Look, they're telling you all they want to tell you without telling it to you. They got to be concerned.
Right.
They got to be concerned. I guess my question is, like, why would you, if a guy's struggling with his weight, I mean, I guess you think he might hurt himself, but wouldn't you think more exercise would be good?
Yeah, you would think. It's certainly been, the Zion thing has been such an interesting dynamic inside the bubble. When you look at just the stats on the paper, when he's scoring 24 points in 26 minutes or 20 points in 22 minutes on 10 for 12 shooting and things like that, you almost find yourself going, I mean, this guy is just the second coming of LeBron James. It's incredible. But then when you actually watch him play, you're like, does running hurt him? It looks like running is painful for him. Like, he's slow and mechanical almost. And you just wonder if he really is going to be as great as we all hope he would be. Playing 20 minutes a game and not playing back-to-backs is certainly not going to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And last one here in the NBA, Doug. LeBron James talking to Joe Vardon of The Athletic. They were asking about the struggles in shooting that you've been talking about and that the Lakers have had, not just all season long, but especially here inside the Orlando bubble. LeBron gave, quote, a weird answer about this. He agreed that he and the Lakers were looking for a rhythm on offense. Then he said, quote, it's just some things that you can't control that's here that I really don't want to talk about that's off the floor. Vardon writes, what did he mean? The food? The fishing? Tea times not being abundant enough? I wrote down on a piece of paper what I thought he meant, showed it to him. His answer was, heck nah. So whatever. It's just an interesting thing to hear. Obviously something on LeBron James's mind beyond Anthony Davis and other teammates putting up bricks that they're throwing out there.
Does he think the guys aren't dedicated enough to getting shots up? Or
I get apparently some sort of issue that the Lakers are having off the floor down inside the NBA bubble. I guess we're left to wonder. As you've mentioned, maybe he's upset about perhaps the players that aren't there, or in particular one player that's bubble.
I don't care what he says or what anybody says. They're pissed that Avery Bradley's not there. And they should be. Why are you not there? Like, the idea of my family, like, they all have families. Everybody's got a family. You know, and you got to be at home for 3 months around only your family. So all we're asking for you is 3 months in return to try and win a championship. Like, yeah. And Avery Bradley has a player option on his deal. You know?
Mm.
Do you think those players want him to opt into that deal next year? I don't. I don't know. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I don't know how a cutter truly works. Do you? It's one of those things that we all talk about. Like, I think cover two defenses, most people, because you play Madden, you know how it works, right? You're like, oh, they got two safeties high. Everybody goes like, cover two. It's a man under his zones because he played. But we all say like, well, look at that cutter. Look at that cutter. But how does it actually work? You know what? Let's ask the guy who might have the nastiest cutter in baseball right now, Dustin May from the LA Dodgers. He might have, might have the best cutter. He definitely has the best hair. He joins us in the Herd on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so grab a baseball and explain to me it's two-seam cutter. That means so your fingers are on the seams, right? You're not going cross seams. That's a four-seamer. How does a cutter work?
I mean, for me, I kind of grip it like a four-seam, and I just kind of cock it kind of up a little bit. And then I just try to pull across and just kind of let the grip work. I don't really try to manipulate it too much because I don't want it to be too big. I just kind of try to throw it as hard as I can and just kind of let the grip work so it's small and tight.
Okay. I mean, you make it sound so easy. The estimated amount of horizontal movement on your cutter, 17 inches. Manny Machado looked like a child when you struck him out the other night down at Petco. Why does yours move so much more than some others move?
Are you talking about my two-seam or my cutter?
Well, okay, so there's a difference?
Yeah.
Okay. So the two-seamer is just a fastball, and your fastball has cutter-type movement? Is that fair?
No. The two-seam is what I struck Machado out with. That one goes to the right. My cutter goes to the left.
So it's about putting pressure. You put a pressure on your right finger? And when you're right, you're, I assume your right finger, your index finger, when you're going to make it cut to the right, and then in the middle finger, is it the pressure? Or is it something different with your hands that makes the cutter cut to your left?
So it's the grip on the baseball. So when I throw a two-seam, I grip it on like the middle of the baseball with the two seams that are on the top, and then I just throw that, and it just comes out of the way that my arm goes is like a low three-quarter slot, so the two-seam plays really well off of that. And then the cutter, as I described earlier, I grip it like a four-seam, and I just kind of like turn it up a little bit and just try to pull through it so it goes to the left.
When did this – like when you're in high school, I mean, I know you're a third rounder at Justin, Texas. I'm looking at pictures of you pitching in high school. Like how has this kind of evolved into where – obviously you have to have kind of the explosive power, but you also have this movement. When has it evolved to being like – this dynamic pitch? Did you have it this much in high school, or something that you've developed here in the last year or two?
No, I definitely didn't have it in high school. I've completely changed my repertoire since high school because our player development staff helped a lot. But I developed it in, 18 spring training is when I kind of learned how to throw the two-seam. And then like middle of the way through the 18 season in minor leagues in Rancho was when I learned how to throw a cutter, and it just played off my two seam really well. So we thought that it was a good mix to have. So we kept it.
When was the last time you had short hair in the back?
Short hair would have been my junior year in high school.
So what was it? Was it a girlfriend? Was it your friends? Was it watching baseball on TV? When did you decide, let's just let it go here? Let's just let it get curly and let it get fluffy and let it get big and have that big hair swag?
I mean, honestly, it was just like a thought in my head. I was like, I'm just not going to cut my hair. It's just like, I want to leave it and then kind of see where it goes. And then I liked it once it got long, so I just didn't cut it.
How much time do you daily put into the hair?
Daily, not too much. But when I have to wash it, probably like 30 minutes it takes. It takes a lot of time to wash and like get it prepped so it doesn't look too bad.
Okay, so how often do you wash? Like I figure almost every time I shower, I wash my hair. That sounds like that you don't do that. How often? But I also don't have a ton of hair left. Like you got this beautiful mane. How often do you wash it?
I wash it normally every other day, every 3 days. It's not really great for your hair to wash every day. So I wash it every other day to every 3 days, depending on like what I'm doing that day, or if it just like if I feel like it's dirty and needs to be washed.
Dustin May joining us in the Herd. Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. I mentioned it was the two seam you struck out Manny with. What is that like? What is that feeling like of being on a mound and watching great hitters and you throw something that's just so filthy that they have no chance? What is that feeling like inside of you?
I mean, honestly, that pitch, I didn't realize how much it was inside until, like, after the game when I was getting blown up with, like, mentions and stuff. But, I mean, because whenever I threw it, I kind of, like, spun off and, like, walked to the dugout, so I didn't really realize how far it was in. But, I mean, watching the video, it was kind of crazy. I didn't really realize.
You're almost doing a self-pat. You're like, man, that was nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
What has this been like? You guys are – it's a different type of bubble, right? A different type of quarantine. Like, you saw what happened, obviously, with the Marlins. What's it been like for you guys with this short season thus far?
It hasn't been too bad. I mean, we just have the safety protocols, and, I mean, it's kind of like you're on your own, so you got to go handle your own business, but don't do something stupid and go out and get it. You know, I mean, we got a job to do, so we got to protect ourselves as well. So we have to be able to protect ourselves and get the job done on the field, so we don't want to do something stupid off the field to prevent that.
Dustin May joining us from the LA Dodgers. Of course, 15 strikeouts so far on this young season. Dodgers continue to play well. They've won their last two, beat the Padres. They've won four of their last five. Now they got a series starting at Chavez Ravine with the San Francisco Giants. How many masks do you have?
How many masks?
Yeah, do you have like one like go to that's starting to stink, or do you got a bunch of rotation? How many masks do you got?
I've got probably like 10 at the field that we got at the start of the season that I just kind of rotate through and throw on my loop to get washed every day so they don't really stink. And then at the house, I've got a lot of disposable ones and then a few cloth ones that, after I wear a couple times on the cloth ones, I just take to the field and throw them on my loop to get washed. So
yeah.
I don't really wear them too long before I need to wash them, just because of germs and stuff and trying to be smart about it. But that's kind of, I mean, I honestly have no idea how many I have. It's quite a few.
Okay. Fair enough. I just didn't know did you have like a personalized mask? Have you gotten to the point to where now you have like your own personalized mask, your own like emblem? These are mine. This is what I roll with.
No, I don't have any of those.
Okay, where were you? I'm trying to think, where were you? It wasn't the night you pitched. It was the night before you guys pitched when you won on the throw from left field. But it wasn't Jock in left field, was it? It was Chris Taylor, right?
That was the night after I pitched. We were in San Diego, and I was sitting in the stands, and Chris Taylor threw it from left field. But I was sitting in the stands, and then as soon as he threw it, we all jumped up and ran out to the field.
You know, and then while on your way out there, you're like, social distancing, don't hug each other.
Yeah, we gotta stay social distance, and we're not allowed to do high fives and stuff. So it's kind of a different feeling, but I mean, we gotta deal with it so we can play. So it's not too bad.
No. Better throw, that one or Mookie's earlier in the year from right field to third base?
You know, honestly, I want to have to say the throw to home, but Mookie's was more like just like turn and throw, and he didn't really have time to set up. So, I mean, I don't know. They were both ridiculous. That's hard to choose, but I mean, I guess I have to say the one to home because it saved a run and won the game.
It's got to be like, look, you haven't been doing this that long, obviously, in the bigs. Like, do you ever stop yourself? Like, I'm playing with this freaky talented team. We are so loaded. You got Chris Taylor in left, who doesn't, you know, he plays everywhere, obviously. You got Betts throwing dudes out. You get all this talent. Still, Kerr's still getting it done. Like, has there been a pinch yourself? I cannot believe that by the time I break through in the bigs, I'm surrounded by all this talent.
No, 100%. It's absolutely ridiculous the amount of just like strong players that we have and the amount of depth that we have in the organization, like after our like big name guys. It's insane just to think how the Dodgers have built this kind of like empire that we have right now of just strength. It's ridiculous.
All right. Last thing, Dustin May joining us here in the herd. You mentioned you were in the stands, and they have, you know, that some places have like the cardboard cutouts. There's some places that have the stuffed bears, right? There's some that are just, you know, empty seats. Now they're starting to cover it up. As a player, what do you like? What do you like the best to see when you're on the mound in terms of what's in the stands?
Honestly, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they're not cheering, so it doesn't matter how many cardboard cutouts or fluffy bears they have in the stands. It doesn't really matter to me because they're not cheering and they're not being loud. So, I mean, it's just fans paying to be in the stands. So it's kind of cool to see. But I mean, they don't make noise, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Is it make it better, make it worse? Like, what is that like?
No, it honestly doesn't change. I mean, it's just a different look in the stand, for me at least. I think it's kind of funny whenever I'm walking around and you take like a quick look and it's like, is that a person? And then it's like, oh no, that's just a cutout. So, but when I'm on the mound, it's no different.
All right, it's got to be also weird how much you're going to pitch against. Like, you last pitched against the Padres. Your next start is against the Padres. It's like we're playing the Padres. You're playing the Padres again and again and again. It's kind of hamster on the wheel a little bit.
No, it is. We play the same teams a lot this year just because of the way that they have the schedule structured. But I mean, hey, we're getting to play baseball, so I'm excited to play.
No doubt about it. We'll keep playing it and playing it well. Take care of that hair once every 4 or 5 days. When you do, wash it. Live that dream for the rest of us. And thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you for having me.
That's Dustin May from Justin, Texas. Justin, Texas. There's Justin Boots. I believe they're from Justin, Texas as well. All right, coming up next, we have a great best for last. And I think you're going to agree with my number one, because our best for last is the best action film franchises of all time. It's next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Wow, what a great response here from Wyatt Davis. Plays for Ohio State. I'm just going to read something here real quick. It's about the Big Ten United, which he essentially says, look, we appreciate it, but it doesn't really stand for us. This is a great sentence. This is one that, as a former college athlete, I would like to echo these sentiments. It has been said that college athletes are being exploited, not only in the stated letter, but also in the media. We recognize that there are risks, but we all have chosen to be here, and we want a chance to play this fall. We know that there's still a long way to go as plans continue to change every day, but we have a constant voice in the discussion. Yeah, I think the general irritant to people who have been through the system of being a college student athlete is this idea of exploitation is a false claim. It just is. You are promoted. You are supported. You're promoted. Yes. Are you an advertisement for the university? Absolutely. But it allows you to grow your own personal brand so that, for example, an Ohio State kid, you get done playing. You have all these great experiences. You have a college degree. Maybe most of them have a chance to play in the NFL. And if you don't, when you go to apply for a job, you put yourself up against any other Ohio State student. You say, oh, on your resume, oh, hey, I played for Ohio State. Who do you think is getting that job? Have you been exploited or have you been promoted? Just want to point that one out. Social media is buzzing because apparently there's another John Wick coming out. Who knew? I thought we could use that as a jumping off point for the best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for best for last.
All right, here's what we did. We compiled a list with the crack staff of the best action movie franchises. And here's what we came up with.
Number 10.
Dirty Harry. Make my day. Right? Dirty Harry. Make my day. The films aren't great, but there's a lot of action. You gotta, like, remember the time. Doesn't totally hold up. Right? But it is Clint Eastwood. He was a badass. This is not the Right Turn Clyde. No, it's not those ones. Dirty Harry was... We'll put that number 10.
Number 9.
John Wick. Haven't seen one. But they're making a fourth and a fifth when it's pretty expensive to make movies. And Keanu Reeves like him or dislike him, he's been in some huge, huge, huge movies. Hey, The Matrix isn't on here. Is that? Oh, that's because that's like sci-fi? Yes? It's action. Action. Right. I would say it's my. I ranked them. I didn't pick all of. All right, let's see.
Number 8.
Fast and the Furious. Fast and the Furious. Obviously, some huge names, long-running franchise. I've lost count. I think they've done 8, maybe 9. I don't know.
Number 7.
Rambo. First Blood. Yes, the number of bullets fired to people actually hit by said bullets is like classic 80s movie. What, they got the worst aim of all time, just spraying places with bullets and he never gets hit? But it had the Vietnam vet, kind of goes crazy, Pacific Northwest. Who didn't watch and enjoy Rambo?
Number 6.
Mission Impossible. This message will self-destruct, right? I mean, Tom Cruise is the same character in every movie he's ever in, except for maybe Born on the 4th of July. Even then, he's cocky, whatever. But Mission Impossible is pretty good. The stunts are unreal. It's like it's a poor man's Bond.
Number 5.
We'll put Indiana Jones there. Now, the problem with Indiana Jones is number 4 was atrocious and Temple of Doom, frankly, wasn't good. But, you know, Raiders was amazing. And The Last Crusade, Sean Connery, we named the dog Indiana. Pretty good. Indiana Jones at 5.
Number 4.
The Bourne series. Great books. Matt Damon is outstanding. All right? Bourne ones are good.
Number 3.
We'll go Bond. Incredible first scene. Always ends up with a woman. No matter who the Bond is, they're always cooler than you. Love the gadgets. Bond.
Number 2.
Die Hard, Yippee-ki-yay, right? It did go one, maybe too long, or maybe two too long, right? But if you think of Anakin Skywalk, Dulles, that's 2. And of course, 1 is Yippee-ki-yay, Nakatomi Tower, which is on the Fox lot, right next to the Fox lot, right? That's number 2.
Number 1.
Lethal Weapon. Because it's a combined buddy cop movie, and action movie. And then they bring in Joe Pesci and Chris Rock, and that kind of saves the franchise later on there with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. The number one action movie franchise of all time is Lethal Weapon. And I will hear nothing. Are you guys feeling older? Neither am I. If you're not ready to give up, I'm never ready to give up. If you want to feel more energized and lean, try M-Drive. Check it out at mdriveformen.com. That's mdriveformen.com. My thanks to Dustin May, who joined us earlier, Ethan Strauss, John Middlecoff. Have a great weekend. We'll see if the Lakers can make a shot over the weekend. We also got the PGA Championship. Colin will be back to review it all on Monday. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.